Good morning, Hooch.
Good morning, Darren. Good morning, listeners. We fluked one. I'm actually awake.
I know, right? So you're actually out of bed, or awake at least, before I call you. That's
let's not go too crazy. I'm not out of bed yet. I'm just awake. We'll go steady.
This might just about be the only fishing spot in Australian radio where the guy does the fishing report from his bed. I reckon.
That might be our hook.
That's our selling point.
Yeah, it doesn't sound real good, but anyway, we'll see how we go.
Now, you're actually planning on going for a fish this morning, is that right?
Well, no, others were, and I can't go again. Sharif's going out again in his beautiful big Eden craft, and I'd love to go, but I had half Tuesday off and all Wednesday off because I went down to a fishing forum and emceed and did some stuff for some people for a fishing forum in Hobart. So when he messaged me last night and he said he was going, I ummed and ahed about it, but I thought, I better not have another day off this week and get some stuff done in the office.
All right. Well, for those who are going out, we might as well do the tides and winds and all that now, thanks to our friends at Deegan Marine. So we've got a fine day, pretty cool, light to moderate southwesters. High tide today is about midday, 3 metres. Saturday's high, 10 to 1 in the afternoon, 3 metres. Sunday's high, about 1:30 in the afternoon, 3 metres. I'd reckon probably, even though it'll be a bit cloudy tomorrow, and there may be a very light shower or two about, tomorrow's probably the best day. Northwesters maxing out at about 25. Oh, hang on. That's 25 knots on land. Here we go. Let's go to the water. So Saturday, variable winds 10 knots, northwesters 15 to 20 k's, 20 knots in the morning, and seas about 1 to 1.5 metres. So Saturday, not too bad. Sunday, not good. Fair bit of rain forecast, and the wind's fairly strong on Sunday. So if people want to go for a fish, I reckon it's today or tomorrow.
Sounds like Saturday might be the go for those people that are working today, like myself, and then hopefully I'll do a little tuna dance for Sharif and his crew, and hopefully they'll pick up another one. They're going out for another try on the big tuna that is still out the front here with the whales and the dolphins.
Right. So tell me about whales and dolphins. Have you heard any good stories or what?
Well, there's plenty that go across the front, and, you know, as the water quality increases, it seems to every year in Bass Strait, the whales are obviously on the food train, and they come across the front, whales and dolphins, and they're bringing, of course, the tuna through as well, because I think the big tuna follow them. It's really important too to remember that you're not meant to harass the whales and the dolphins, but it's fine if you stay away from them a little bit, but you can fish quite close to them as long as you're sensible. And it really proves rewarding if you do, because not only can you catch a fish from out from under them, but it's really cool fun to watch the whales jumping and flopping about and trying to fish feed on the krill on that.
Did you see that video yesterday? It was on the TV news, the whale playing with that sea snake?
I didn't see that one, but I did see one where a whale come up and had a bit of a play and a boat was in the wrong spot.
Yes,
and
yes.
And landed on the boat.
Wow.
That was pretty wild.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I don't go near them.
Yeah, that's
but
exactly
mind
right
you,
there.
That whale came to them. So.
Yes.
It had an agenda.
Oh, you think it was an attack whale? Oh, God, here we go.
No. I think it just saw something big and thought, I wonder what that is. Let's find out.
I might just belly flop it. I used to do that too. I used to just belly flop random people for no reason.
That's another story. All right. Now, you wanted to talk about stripy trumpeter.
Yes, I thought I'd talk about the trumpeter because I've seen a number of people catching them, and it's really quite popular at this time of year when you get the right weather, because everyone freaks out because they shut the season down for 2 months and we think our throats are cut. But there's a bit of activity that goes on before that. And they're very, very good fish to catch because they are super tasty. They're the sort of fish, too, that the flesh, you get a really good yield off them. And even if you accidentally overcook them, they can still be quite tasty because they don't dry out too much. But it's it is a bit of a shame to overcook them, because when they're cooked beautifully, they are a sensational tasting fish. You can cook them in a number of ways. You can bake them whole, you can fry them. It's a little bit of a waste to be battering them, but they're also awesome battered. They are a fantastic fish. Not only that, they fight really well too. So when you hook them, they're good fun. They will try and stay down on the bottom for a while, but once you bust them up off the bottom, they sort of then fold up and they're a bit easier to get up. But they are quite deep too, so I think they might suffer from a bit of barra trauma. So they're a really good fish. Lots of people have been targeting those. So if you're new to that, the best thing you can do, I think, is to ask some mates. If you've got some mates that are fishermen, rather than trying to recreate the wheel, you're better off to ask them how they go, where they've caught them before, what they use, and that's the best way. Lean on your mates, and they can give you a few tips.
Right. Now, we haven't spoken about the trusty old salmon for a while, and you were saying off the air quite a bit of action around Port Sorell.
Yeah, plenty of salmon still up in the estuary. Like when the water comes up into the Port Sorell estuary, even Ulverston, they're sneaking up into the estuaries at this time of year. And when the water and the tide comes in, you can try and head them off at the pass on the points at the mouth of rivers, even off the bluff. So yeah, definitely try on that. You can use bait, but I like to throw big silver slices at those, and you can cover a lot more ground when you're throwing a big silver slice about.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned tuna there before, so still plenty big ones out there.
Yeah, and that's really, really quite awesome, and it's amazing that they are still coursing across the front. It's got to the stage now where you can nearly put a mark in the diary. Over the last 3 years, you can put a couple of marks in the diary and sort of know when they should be coming through, and it's this time of year. It was really great to see some school-sized fish being caught this year, because that sort of fills in a bit more of the puzzle of what's going on, and we sort of starting to feel that it might be an annual event where they fish of different sizes course through at different sizes times of the year. So fingers crossed, and massive credit to those people that discovered that and continue to keep exciting everyone, because Glenn Saltmarsh, who was instrumental in kicking this off, he went out just recently and managed to hook another one. And they tried to tag and release that one, but unfortunately that fish died while they were fighting it, and that can happen, and it makes it very, very tough to catch that fish, because once it's 100 kilos of dead weight in the water, it's very, very hard to inch that up bit by bit, and it broke at the side of the boat, unfortunately. But that happens. It doesn't happen a great deal, but it happens. And he was pretty devo, old Glenn, because he was real keen to tag that fish and have it swim away. But also, even if they had got it to the surface and they'd realised it was a bit a bit too tired, they would have got it for the flesh. And so it's a bit of a shame, and I can tell that he was devo, that it was a bit of a waste, sunk to the bottom. But it wouldn't be a waste, because there'd be something in the food chain that would have went, you beauty. Like, you're swimming along down under Bass Strait and you come across 100 kilos of dead tuna. If you was a predator fish or a shark or a gummy shark or anything like that, you'd be pretty happy about it, I think.
Mm. Now, heard anything trout-wise?
Not. I've seen a few people fishing the waters that are open all year. I saw some people up at Huntsman, which is up at the Meander Valley. That's a man-made dam and a fishery there that's quite popular. It's got plenty of fish in it. They're often quite small, but the fish were working the edges. So that tells me that the water level's up a bit. There's a bit of food, and the trout are foraging on the edges. Also probably tells me that it must be warming up a little bit, even though it doesn't seem like it. But when the fish start to work those edges, it's really, really good fun for people that can sight fish and cast a lightweighted soft plastic to them. Or, of course, the fly fishermen get pretty excited when those fish come up into the shallows. And so the trout fishing doesn't really kick off until opening season in August.
Mm.
There are some areas that are open all year round, but it does really get quite exciting because we are very close to opening season, and people get up and get to their shacks and go and camp. I can't believe it. people actually go and camp in tents at this time of year in the Highlands, which is pretty hardcore.
I reckon. Yeah, you've got to be well into it to do that.
That's like an Ironman activity.
All right. Anything else you want to mention before we head to the news?
Oh, I think we're pretty good. I just hope everyone has a really good Friday. It's the end of another week, and have a great weekend.
All right, mate. And plug your social media there.
That's Team Penn Simrad Fishing, and of course, we're looking after the Moz's Hot Bite.
Nice work. Go back to bed. Well, you're actually still in bed, but
twice.
Yeah. See you, Hooch.
Cheers. Goodbye.